Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. Now listen, just in case nobody tells you today, I love you. Just in case, pass that on, okay? I'll try. We're closing in on the last days of the season of Lent, which you probably know. Although it's possible to lose track, it's been known to happen. But maybe you know right where we are. Maybe these past few weeks have been times that have brought you closer to your own heart or to someone else's, and that when that happened, it was like the Good Shepherd came and found you and carried you home. Maybe that realization came when one day you saw somebody take someone else's hand into their hand and say with their clear eyes to this person that I'm pretty sure they just met, "Oh, sweetie, you are precious, precious. That's what I think." Or maybe something you decided to do for Lent, forego a luxury, make sure that you say your prayers each morning and each night, lay your hand on someone's shoulder while prayers were said for their healing one Wednesday. Something you gave yourself to do in these past weeks opened a window in you to God that you didn't even know was closed. Or maybe it's been a big flop. Maybe you've missed the whole thing, like arriving at the platform for a train that left an hour ago, and then said to yourself, "Well, I never wanted to get on that train anyway." Or maybe you got off to a pretty good start, but, you know, well, life happens, this and that. And maybe, honestly, the best you could pull off was getting you and your family to church one Sunday and the whole season of Lent with, all things considered, a minimum of tears. Whatever it has been is what you have to offer. And so whatever it has been, trust in the slow workings of God's grace for you and give thanks. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, begins the final stretch. On Palm Sunday, we hear the story of how all of our best hopes and intentions and all of our dearest loves turn into a train wreck of betrayal and cowardice and finger pointing. It is like one huge, all out, no holes barred family screaming match that spirals and spirals out of control till words are said that should never have been said and that can now never be unsaid, and you can't take them back, and that ends with the sound of doors slamming, ringing through the household in an awful silence that nobody knows how to break through now. There won't be a sermon next Sunday, only the reading of the long, long story, the passion narrative of the train wreck of what Jesus' last days with us were like. That long story at least shows that there is plenty of truth-telling that needs to happen. Plenty of coming home to Jesus and carrying our own tattered and frayed lives to him. And given grace, that is what we will be able to do. But going into Holy Week next Sunday, there's probably some wisdom in the truth-telling, starting in the pulpit of your own heart. So we'll just let that long, long story lead us on its own. The gospel reading from John this morning gives us a candle to carry in case it gets dark along the way, and to light our way to bring our lives to come home to Jesus. Today we are in Jesus' home away from home, one of his very favorite places to be. We're in Mary and Martha's home in Bethany, which was a mile or two just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. We are told that he is there 6 days before the Passover, as everyone is making their way into Jerusalem for that great feast. Martha and Mary share their home with their miracle boy, their brother Lazarus, who they thought they lost forever, just days before they had laid him in a tomb. And there he lay in death till the voice of Jesus found him and called him to come forth back into the land of the living. Martha is serving dinner, of course. Jesus and Lazarus and some others are sitting around the table waiting for the meal to be served, and waiting for something else too. Maybe that's why it's so quiet in the room. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the important people, the powerful people, the people who matter, whether they really believed what had happened to Lazarus was true or not, saw that the whole world was turning to follow Jesus and away from them. So they let it be known that Jesus now had a price on his head that they intended for him to pay in full. And they say of him, he is a dead man. So the smell of fear and death is heavy in the air. And then something happens. Suddenly there is Mary holding a little box she has brought out from her room. A popular dictionary of the Bible says simply that what she was holding was a scented ointment or perfume imported from the Himalayas in alabaster boxes and opened on special occasions. I wonder if Mary really knew what she was doing with her treasured box, as she knelt at Jesus' feet and anointed them. I wonder if she was thinking about the practice common in that day, that when you welcomed a stranger into your home, you washed their feet, which signifies you are no stranger anymore in this household. You are welcomed at this table. Or was she thinking about the old sacred stories about anointing prophets of God? Of God and kings? Or was she simply doing what she could do, all she knew to do, all she had left to do, in the little time that seemed to be left? Jesus says simply that she has anointed his body for burial. But I think Mary was just doing what you do for someone you love. You keep loving them any way you know how, even when the worst is coming and it would be far easier to walk away. Mary doesn't do that. She gives him one beautiful thing to carry with him wherever it is he is going. And what she did lights a candle in the dark that shows us something true about who we are. Oh, yes, We are capable of turning on one another and on our own poor selves and slamming the door on each other with a ferocious fear, just as the adoring crowd and all the others did with Jesus. And oh yes, we are just as capable of taking a secret, delicious delight in someone else's misfortune, or a searing envy that someone already well off has succeeded again. But surely also, we have love in us that will gladly, wholeheartedly, without a second thought, give everything if we could please turn someone's darkness to light, even for a moment. That is true of each of you. In fact, it is what is most true about who you are. And it is why Jesus lays down his life for you. In these last days of Lent, whether a window was open to you, in you to God that you didn't know was shut, or you feel like you missed the whole train, let what our sister Mary did for the Lord show you what is most true about you too. And trust in the slow workings of God's grace to open a window in you to him, to have words to call a poor soul precious when they needed it most, to lay a hand of healing on someone who is of a fearful heart, or to use that one Sunday out of the whole season that you actually got here as your offering to light the way to come home to Jesus and to be changed from glory to glory. Amen.